Continuing the discussion of Durdhara. Dhara can also mean to hold. Up to the present day in Bengali, dharo, dharo, hold it, hold it. Difficult to hold. This brings to mind one pastime of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, recounted in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam by Vedvyas, and now available to people all over the world in Srila Prabhupada's glorious Krishna book, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is a pastime of Krishna as the most delightful baby. Babies, yeah, they're nice. Mothers, what for a mother is more delightful? Yashoda Nandana. Yashoda Nandana means he who gives pleasure, he who delights Yashoda. So very happy for Yashoda to have baby Krishna on her lap. She's looking at his face, but one time, so she's holding him. It's a very natural thing for a mother to hold her child. But one time, she had him on her lap, and he just suddenly felt so heavy, became very hard to hold. Durdhara, hard to hold. Now, this is all arranged by Krishna's yogamaya potency for performing his pastimes. So she put him down, and just then a whirlwind arose. Whirlwind, tornado, Vrindavan. You've seen it can get very hot and dusty. And then there are, you'll see little tornadoes, not very big tornadoes, little tornado. The wind blows the dust, maybe the leaves, when there's a strong wind, and it blows it in little. So you'll find many, many at one time sometimes. So anyway, there was a big tornado. This was actually a demon in the form of a tornado. Trinavarta. And he came to get Krishna. His idea, I'd pick up this little baby Krishna and then just throw him down. So Krishna, who had become very difficult for Yashoda, his most loving devotee, to hold, became very easy for the demon to hold. Just see, as Krishna's pastimes are inconceivable. Inconceivable, but always delightful. But Trinavarta, he may have felt delighted. Oh, see, well, those others, they all failed. Putana failed, and the others, they failed. Now he carries Krishna up into the sky, and Yashoda cannot understand, where is my boy? She's distressed. And Krishna's enjoying a nice ride. The children and the adults also, they may like to go on the roller coaster. Up and down and around. Krishna had his own, better than a roller coaster, being carried in the sky. He's enjoying himself very nicely, not in the slightest bit afraid. But then, Trinavarta, having taken Krishna high into the sky, suddenly felt that Krishna, now he's becoming very heavy. Now he's became hard to hold. So he became hard to hold, Durdhara, for Trinavarta also. And then Krishna grabbed his neck, strangled him, and the demon fell down. Boom! Dead. And Krishna fell down also? Not dead. The wind died down, the demon who'd caused the wind, dead, and Krishna is just playing very happily. So this is one pastime of Krishna. How he's hard to hold. Hard to hold in the mind. We discussed that at some length. But even hard to, you can pick up a baby. Can you pick up Krishna? He has all the universes in his body. Can you pick him up? Yashoda Mai, she can pick him up. She can pick him up with her love. And even Putana can pick him up if he allows. Krishna, he does everything for his own pastimes. He may appear to be like a human child, but he's not. His childhood pastimes are celebrated even so many thousands of years later. He's not an ordinary child. He's a very, very special child and a very, very special boy and a very, very special youth. And everything about him is very, very special. That's why we're discussing. Now, another meaning of Durdhara. He cannot be, again, it means hard to hold, but a little twist or a little nuance on the meaning of the name. He's hard to hold. You can't capture him. If he likes, he can be captured by the demons, like Churnavarta. But because they can't capture Krishna in their heart, then it's a kind of illusory thing that they capture him. They don't actually get him. In their mind, they got Krishna. Now I've got Krishna, but they don't. That's not the way to get Krishna. It's just Krishna got them. That's what's going on. Now this is the meaning of the name Durdhara, which is given by our Gaurya Vaishnava commentator, who you may remember. This series of names here in Vishnu Sahasranam, these names which are proximate to Durdhara, he's interpreting them in relation to Krishna's relationship with the Pandavas. And here he describes Durdhara, that Duryodhana, because Duryodhana, how Duryodhana became subdued. Dur is at the beginning of his name also. Duryodhana, hard to fight with. So Krishna, Durdhara, hard to hold. So he also had the idea to capture Krishna. Duryodhana, he's hard to fight with, but Krishna was helping the Pandavas to overcome Duryodhana. Hard to fight with, even for the Pandavas, who were great fighters. But practically, the Duryodhana hard to fight with, because even though the Kali Yuga hadn't begun, it was just at the end of Dwarpa Yuga, the personality of Kali entered into Duryodhana. So he was like evil personified. And therefore, it was very, very, very hard to control. Not for Krishna. Krishna can do anything he likes. But then, after all, Krishna is playing his worldly activities as if he is something like an ordinary person. So the story in this regard is that Krishna, he took the role of a messenger or a peace envoy. In the modern age, we call it a peace envoy. The battle seemed unavoidable, and Krishna said, okay, Yudhishthira, let me go and sue for peace. Let me go and see Duryodhana and all his cohorts, and I'll try make a peace arrangement just to stop all this. Actually, Krishna didn't want to stop it. When Duryodhana came to the assembly house made by Maya Danava for Yudhishthira, it was made in such a way that land, the solid portion, looked like water and vice versa. So Duryodhana, when he came there once, being very envious of the Pandavas, he entered and he walked in the water. And then everyone was laughing. The queens were laughing. The queens of Krishna, they were all there. And they were all laughing. And Yudhishthira was very sorry. Oh, he came as my guest. Yudhishthira is so good-hearted because Duryodhana was just causing so much trouble to the Pandavas, tried to kill them in various ways. But Yudhishthira is so good-hearted. He thought, oh, my guest has come and he's offended. But Krishna, let them laugh. Let them laugh. He wanted Duryodhana. Why Duryodhana felt insulted at the end of the Rajasuya sacrifice is described because of this. And then he became more, and it was already, he hated the Pandavas, but it's almost like unlimited. As there's the possibility of unlimited love for Krishna, but it seemed for Duryodhana, his envy of the Pandavas, it was already insane, but it became more intensified. So Krishna wanted that, but he went as a peace envoy. And Duryodhana heard, oh, Krishna's coming, great. And he consulted with his kumantris, his bad advisors, Shakuni, Karna, and others, Dushasana. And they said, oh, Krishna's coming. Okay. Now, what we'll do is, we'll capture Krishna. And then the Pandavas, they'll be in our hands, because the Pandavas, Krishna is their life. And then we can do whatever, we can demand anything from them. They'll be totally disheartened. And so Krishna comes in and they have the plan to capture him. And Krishna knows very well. So what does Krishna do? Expands himself into multiple forms all around the assembly hall. Says, oh, you want to capture me? Okay, capture, here I am, and here I am, and here I am, and here I am, and here, and so many. How can you capture so many Krishnas? He's one Krishna. So he was hard to get in that sense. He couldn't be got by them. Arjuna gets Krishna in a very different way, because his attitude is very different. Sakheti madva prasabhang yaduktam. Hey Krishna, hey Yadava, hey Sakheti. He's lying on the bed with Krishna, joking with Krishna. And in this way, he gets Krishna without any effort, because it's love. And then Duryodhana, he wants to tie up Krishna and capture him. No way. Even theoretically, if he could capture one form, but there are so many manifested. It's the same Krishna, but manifested in so many forms. Imanghi pundarikaksham jigrikshantyalpamedasaha patenagnim prajvalantang yata bala yata jaraha. In Mahabharata, the comment is given that, say there's a fire is blazing up, and some children or very foolish people say, oh, okay, let's put out the fire. We'll put some cloth on top of the fire, and then that will put it out. It's just stupid. So the endeavor to capture Krishna is as stupid as children or idiots trying to put out a fire by putting a cloth on top of it. If it's a wet cloth, it might work, but a dry cloth, there's no way. Again, in Mahabharata, in the context of commenting on this foolish endeavor of Duryodhana and others to capture Krishna, Durgraha Parnina Vayu Dusparsha Parnina Shashau Durdhara Prithivi Murdna Durgraha Keshavo Balad. The wind, you want to capture it? The wind is Durdhara. You cannot capture the wind by your hand. You want to touch the moon with your hand? Stretch out your hand and touch the moon. How far? You can't do it. So the same idea, Durdhara. So as the earth cannot be held on the head of a human. So in the same way, Keshava cannot be caught by force. Another example given by the Acharya, Radha Krishna Shastri, that Krishna, it's showing many forms, it's like a manifestation of his Vishwarup, and it's trying to tie up Krishna, Duryodhana, it was like trying, like a very powerful elephant in rut. You can't get him. The demons can't get him. Demons can't get him, right? Durdhara. Can't be had by the demons. They can't get him, but in another way they can. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings to Gopinath, Asura Shakal Pailo Charan. So many demons, they attain to the lotus feet of Krishna. He says all the demons. Another example from the Mahabharata pastimes is of Ashwatthama. He was worse than Duryodhana. Such a wretched person, even though he's the son of the guru, Drona, but such a wretched person that after the battle was over, all the sons of Dhritarashtra had been killed with the exception of Duryodhana, who was awol, absent without leave. He was absconding, actually he was hiding in a lake. And later Bhima and Duryodhana fought and Bhima killed him. So the battle was over and exhausted all the fighters. They went to the camp, the Pandava fighters, they went to the camp and just went to sleep at night. And Ashwatthama, taking a fierce form, Lord Shiva in his mode of destruction entered into Ashwatthama. And Ashwatthama, in a very short time, killed so many fighters, including Drishtadyumna. They were all sleepy, and he just went and even killed them in their sleep. It's a completely abominable thing to do. Those valiant soldiers, he killed them all in their sleep, and including the sons of Draupadi, which were the last remnants of the Pandava race. But fortunately, within the womb of Uttara by Abhimanyu, that means there were no living descendants for the Pandavas left, but within the womb of Uttara by Abhimanyu, who had also been killed by unfair means, was Parikshit. And then Ashwatthama also tried to kill Parikshit within the womb. So he's a terrible person. So bad, even when he brought the heads of the five sons of Draupadi, he brought them, having killed them in their sleep. Such a despicable activity. He brought them to Duryodhana. But Duryodhana wasn't pleased. Even Duryodhana wasn't pleased. So Ashwatthama is so bad. What happened to Ashwatthama? How did he die? He didn't die. When Yudhishthira, at the beginning of the battle, just before the battle started, all the soldiers are lined up, the two forces against each other. Yudhishthira went to the prominent fighters on the other side and asked, "How can we kill you? Give us a clue how we can kill you." So Drona said, "Well, I can't be killed. Only one thing is, if my son Ashwatthama is killed, then out of disappointment, you'll be able to kill me, otherwise not." So the next asked Ashwatthama, "How can we kill you?" He said, "You can't. I'll be alive at the end of this battle." So that's a quandary, isn't it? So then, anyway, it's a long story as to how there was a trickery by which Dronacharya was fooled into thinking that his son Ashwatthama had been killed. But anyway, Ashwatthama was alive at the end of the battle, and he's still alive. He's one of the seven Chiranjeevis, long-living persons. He's wandering the earth incognito. Due to his greatly sinful activities, he's not recognized by anyone, he's not loved by anyone, he's wandering here and there. But eventually, being cleansed of his sinful reactions, because when he's wandering, he also comes to Vrindavan, so he gets some punya for that, he gets some clearance for his sins, then he will become one of the Saptarshis, one of the seven great personalities who oversee the universe. So there's hope. There's hope even for the demons. Krishna's very hard to get, but there's hope even for them. As Oscar Wilde, an Irish poet and dramatist who himself was a sinful person by Vedic standards. Nowadays, no one believes in there's even such a thing as sin. But he said that Very astute observation. Every saint has a past, and every sinner has a future. So if you see a saintly person, well, they may not have been always saintly. They may have been through so many sinful activities they did previously, and that's certainly true of most of the persons who Srila Prabhupada picked up. They became very great saintly persons by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, but most of them, including my most fallen self, had a very sinful past previous to that. And every sinner has a future. There's hope. There is hope. If one will simply, somehow or other, allow Krishna's mercy, he's always willing to give it, especially via his devotees. He gives it very liberally. Just somehow, if we can open ourselves and be prepared to accept their mercy. The problem with atheists, we're talking about Duryodhana, Ashvatthama. You could say, in one sense, they're worse than atheists because they don't believe in God, but they're against him. But the problem with atheistic people, is that when they're feeling very happy, everything's going on well for them, which happens to them also. It's not that everything goes very bad. The world is more complex than we think. Well, if someone's bad, they should get all bad karma immediately. And if someone is a good person, they should get good karma immediately. But it doesn't usually work like that. Getting a little off topic here. But generally what happens is, someone performs sinful activities and then they get some bad karma and then they think, oh my God, 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 please help me. And then they become pious and then in the next birth they get a position in which they can enjoy the world and then they become impious and they think, I'm so great, and they oppress others, they perform sinful activities and again they go down. So usually someone who's pious, it often happens someone who's pious now is not having the illusion of enjoying the world, and those who are enjoying the world, they're impious. So what often happens is that people who they have money, they have position, and they become very proud, and they think, well, what is all this believing in God? That's for all these people who don't have anything. They say, God, give us this day our daily bread. I don't need to pray to God for my daily bread. I have enough money to buy it myself. And you see, I'm very successful. My businesses are so good. I'm very powerful. And it's what's all this God? I did it all by myself. It's all due to me. So then in material happiness, they think, I don't need to believe in God. And then if they get in a position, they lose everything, and then everything becomes completely miserable. They say, well, they can't be God, because if there was God, he wouldn't make so much difficulty for me. He'd make everything nice. Why is there suffering? There can't be any God. So people are very impious. It's very, very hard for them to get Krishna. So there is hope. There is hope for us, at least, at the very least, we, myself, and those who are kindly listening, at least we are discussing Vishnu Sahasranama. There are how many billion YouTube videos out there? There are all kinds of things which you could choose to watch or listen to, but you're listening to a discussion of Vishnu Sahasranama. So there is hope for us. We shouldn't get puffed up. Remember, he's hard to get, but we're making a start. So we can be confident, we can be hopeful that he's, in one sense, he's hard to get because he doesn't make himself cheap, but he wants to give himself to us. But he wants that, like Mother Yashoda, we'll be very happy to have Krishna. We'll be happy in it, Krishna. Phew, I want Krishna. If we're happy to have Krishna, Krishna will be happy to have us. He's difficult to get for us because we have the wrong kind of mentality. We don't want Krishna. How can we get him? We say he's hard to get a hold of. But Yashoda embraces him. This whole 1 month is dedicated to the pastime of Yashoda, who embraces him in love, and Krishna is very happy. But at one time he becomes, this month means I'm speaking in the month of Kartik, the whole month, Damodar month. This whole month is dedicated to the pastime of Krishna running away from Yashoda. She's not coming to embrace him. She's coming to punish him. He's a naughty boy. He's running away. And she can't catch him. Hard to get a hold of. For the mother also. In this 1 month, we are celebrating the pastime of how Krishna became hard to get for Mother Yashoda. And how she eventually tied him up. She tied him up. How did she tie him up? How can you tie up God? He's everywhere. How can you tie him up? Duryodhana couldn't do. He wanted to tie up Krishna, capture him. He couldn't do it. Very powerful warrior. And not only him, but he had so many powerful warriors with him. And altogether, they couldn't tie up Krishna. And Mother Yashoda, she's a village woman. She tied him up. Ultimately, it was very hard for her to get Krishna, but she tied him up by love. This is the secret, how to tie up Krishna by love. The Vaishnava poet Premananda says, Premete Hari Kepai. By prem, by pure love, we can get Krishna. Now, prem, what is the symptom of prema? Well, it's love for Krishna, but that's not really a symptom, that's a description. What happens? The heart becomes very soft, not hard. So he is hard to get. Kathin, that's one word, kathin. Which means something which is difficult to do, we can say is kathin, difficult. And kathin is the same as in English. It also means just like if your heart is hard, you can say it's a kathin, kathin hridaya. So it's hard. If we have a hard heart, then it's hard for us to get him. So it's the same as in English. The word hard means, it can mean very hard in the sense of being opposite to soft. And it also means very difficult to do. So he's hard to get for those whose heart is hard. What does it mean that the heart is hard? What does it mean? It doesn't literally mean that the heart is like a lump of iron. We may say that. We say iron heart. We may say that. Someone who's very... It may be for someone who's very strong-minded and in a good way. But what does it mean that tadashmasaram hridayam vadeyam, that is given in the Bhagavatam, whose heart is hard like steel? What does that mean? That means that the heart is hardened with personal desire to exploit each other, with kaam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsarya, with lust, greed, anger, envy, pride, illusion. And then if the heart is hard like that, and then where's the place for love? It's just the antithesis of love. So what are we going to do? My heart is hard, so hard. There's a method for softening up, cleaning out all these bad things. It's called Harinama, Cheto Darpana Marjanam, especially by Sankirtan, chanting in association with devotees. Then it's not a ritualistic process. It's not you sit down and do some ritual, Om Mani Padme Hum or something like this, and you chant it in ritual, but the feeling of calling out to Krishna, and then the heart becomes soft. And Name Rati Hoile Premera Udoy Premete Hari Kepai. I'm quoting from that song of Premananda again. Name Rati Hoile. When there is a feeling, strong feeling for the holy name, then Premera Udoy, then Prem will naturally arise in the heart. And Premete Hari Kepai, by Prem, by love of Krishna, then we will get Krishna. Hari, he steals away our heart if we allow him to steal it. So this prem, this is the method to change, we don't change Krishna, he is Durdhara, but to change our perspective, so he's no longer Durdhara, so he becomes Sulabha, tasyaham Sulabha Partha. Nitya yuktasya yoginaha. So it becomes easy for us to get. Krishna says, I'm cheap, sulab, I'm available. But ananya cheta satatam, for those who yomam smarati nityasha, for those who always think of me. And it's implied with love, not like Kamsa. He also got Krishna, but not in a very favorable way. So what is the method? We hear so much talk about prem. If we're talking, that's good. We're talking about prem. At least we're talking about it. At least we're talking about love of Krishna. But again, it's not cheap. What is the method to do that? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to flood the world with love of Krishna. What is the means? What is the means? Well, we'll find that in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Harshe Prabhu Kohen Surup Ram Rai, Ki Rupen Nama Loile Preme Rupa Joy. No, I'm getting mixed up here. Harshe Prabhu Kohen Shuno Surup Ram Rai, Kalo Nama Sankirtan Parama Upai. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very happily said to Surup Damodar and Ramananda Rai, that in Kali Yuga, the main means, or the best means, to get Krishna is by Nama Sankirtan. Okay, Nama Sankirtan. But then, Jai Rupe Loile Nam Prema Upajoy Taha Lokon Shuno Surup Ramarai. Then this is very important. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, now, Surup and Ram Rai. Okay. I told you that. We all agreed on that. That in Kali Yuga, the best means, the prime means of getting Krishna is by Nam Sankirtan. But what is the method of chanting? What's the secret of chanting? We're chanting. Where's the prem? It's not coming. What is the secret? How do we chant? J Rupe Loile Nam Prema Upajoy. What is the method? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to tell Surup and Ram Rai. What is the method of chanting? What's the secret so that prema arises in the heart? And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, this is in the last chapter of the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita, describing the Shikshashtaka prayers. What is the method of chanting, or what is the mentality? What is the secret? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Chunadapi suni chena tarari vasa hishnara amanina manadena kirtaniya sadaharihi. Easy verse to say. Difficult, seems to us, to actually adopt such an attitude. Uttam hoya apanake mane trinadham. The topmost devotee thinks himself lower than the grass. That seems to be difficult to get, doesn't it? Krishna willing, we'll discuss that more in the next session. Hare Krishna. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, who gave us the great treasure of Krishna consciousness. Krishna. Vanchakalpa Tarubhyas Chakripasin.